This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is an edited recording of the panel discussion that was held at the BFM Health and Living Live 2016 event on April 2nd. BFM Health and Living Live 2016 is presented by AIA, the real life company.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for staying for... I don't think this should be called The Perils of Aging. I mean, that's a terrible... terrible title. I turned 50 this year, and I'm excited about the next 25 years. Yeah, come on. The joys of aging, I think that's what it should be called. Okay, and to help us work through some of the challenges in order that we can maximize on the joys of aging, we have Associate Professor Tham Mau Pin. She's a consultant or the geriatrician at University of Malaya, and Dr. Rajesh Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, Sunway Medical Center. Now, these two individuals you've heard on BFM, and they become regular voices. And I think it's a great opportunity for all of you to pose questions directly to them this afternoon. We're going to have a little intervention from both of them about their specialty and some of their concerns. And then we're going to open it up to the floor. Let's start off. I'm going to ask Mau Pin to begin with whatever that you feel necessary to say. Geriatrician, what's that about?
Well, first of all, you might not think of this as good news, or you might think of this as good news, but you will have more than 25 years. Okay, so even though the average life expectancy is 76, if you are 50, you actually live more than 25 years, because you actually, by the virtue of being more here for 50 years, you're already kind of... defied some of the death odds, if you know.
Oh, that's
so it's
great
be
news.
30 now, years or so.
Okay,
you,
so now I turn to the other side of BFM, the financial planners. Ask my financial planner if I have enough money to live that long. I think that's the next thing.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So but anyway, a lot of people usually say pediatrics. I said no, geriatrics. They went, what's that? And basically, I'm a specialist for older people. And they go, oh, older people need specialists? Then I say, yes, because as they get older, they tend to have multiple medical problems. And yes, you can go and see a cardiologist when you have a heart problem. You can go and see a kidney specialist when you have a kidney problem. But when you have a kidney problem, a heart problem, a liver problem, a gut problem, you end up seeing far too many specialists, and you can end up collecting too many medications. And they will all end up treating each individual disease in isolation. And then on top of that, old age, I'm not trying to depress everyone, old age comes with disability, old age comes with other potential baggages. They don't have to be baggages like family who really care but might not be able to provide, those kind of things. So anyway, so a geriatrician looks at everything. Yeah, which I always tell my medical students, which make us the smartest of all medical specialties. But well, that one's up to you to judge, I suppose. But the main problem about growing old is that nowadays there's just too many of you. Too many people are growing old, which is a great success, isn't it?
I like the way you've not included yourself in this.
I know.
But you look extraordinarily
grow.
Young for somebody who... What are you, like, it's in your 70s or something?
You're yeah, absolutely.
Septuagenarian?
Yeah, it's all that Botox I get for free, you know, of my rehab colleagues. They're really good friends. But actually, there are too many older people in this world. And we had not anticipated it. You would say, you should have figured it out. If your healthcare got better and you got richer and people lived longer, then you will end up having more older people. Well, we just kind of looked around and realized, whoops, help, we haven't really prepared for this. And this is a worldwide problem. So don't blame anyone. Everybody's at fault, if anything. We've not predicted this happening. And then with old age, at the moment, we see it as a problem because we haven't prepared economically. We haven't prepared our healthcare facilities to cope with this. And our mindset are still on children, when actually by 10 years' time, there will be as many older people as children in this country. And actually, we are a little bit behind because... From the University of Malaya Medical Center point of view, we've just built a pediatric unit. I was like, we've just got a shrinking childhood population, and finally the pediatric units come up. So I'll have to wait another 20 years before the geriatric unit comes up. So we're a little bit behind. So we have to really think about this. We can play catch up, and hopefully everybody can actually have a decent old age in the near future.
Great. So can I bring on Dr. Rajesh at this point to...
As opposed to the geriatrician who takes a holistic view, I'm just a carpenter. I have completely no illusions beyond the fact that I'm just a tukang something or other. If you have something broke, I fix it, then you go away. That's what I do. If you want to know about your skeletal system, the thing that makes you move, the thing that allows you to get around in your world, this is a general concept, right? So in infancy and childhood, obviously you can't do very much. You get up to a point, usually in your late 20s to early 30s, when you are independent. You can do anything you want. You can climb Mount Kinabalu, you can work all day, you can party all night, and you can still keep going. But it doesn't keep going, does it? At some point, you go, oh, I feel a little bit old. Not that would apply to me, but anyhow. At some point, you get beyond independent, robust function. Now, this is the gradual decline of every living human being. You have to get to a point of ADLs. ADLs is a medical abbreviation, activities of daily living. So by the time people come to see me as an orthopedic surgeon with pain or dysfunction, the thing that they really worry about is activities of daily living. So if you run a boot camp, your activity of daily living is boot camping. If you are 70 years old, retired, help to look after the grandchildren on occasion, your activity of daily living is getting out of bed, getting to the toilet, getting back to your own room. So everybody's activity of daily living is different. Eventually, you become dependent. And this is what everybody's afraid of. Everyone I see who comes into the clinic who's over the age of, I don't know, maybe 50, is worried about being dependent. They don't want to be a burden. They don't mind dying, right? They don't mind dying, but they don't want to be a burden. So at very old age, you're dependent. Too bad. Nothing you can do about it. The nature of skeletal tissue, bone, ligament, tendon, muscle, cartilage, it's like a rubber band. So this is the concept that I as an orthopedic surgeon have, and my colleagues who work with the skeletal system have. We deal with your tissues. If you're a tailor, you know about fabric. When a woman walks into a store, she runs her hands across the fabrics because she tells by the feel of the fabric, good, not good, expensive, not expensive, good value, not good value. We have the same skill when we handle tissue. And that tissue we look at as a rubber band. So if a young person gets injured, it's basically you've pulled too hard on a normal rubber band. If you have a rubber band that's got a little nick in it, you pull the rubber band tears more easily than it should. That's injury in the Middle Ages. And if you have a rubber band that you've left in the car for a very long time, you pull a little bit and the rubber band breaks. Right? So that's the concept that I want you to have. Because I said to you, I'm a tukang. I do things with tissues. That's the thing that I do. So if you have tissue injury due to brittle rubber bands, we'll call it that, you have loss of function and deconditioning. And then you have secondary changes and symptoms, and of course there's this issue of hormonal support if you talk about women and the menopause. So as you can see here today, we've covered everything. We've covered loss of function and deconditioning. You know, physical rehabs, people did that. The secondary changes and symptoms I'll talk about a little bit. But the question is, what do you do about it? If you have tissue injury due to brittle rubber bands, you can regenerate that to recover lost function. And if you correct your lifestyle and exercise, you can prevent secondary changes. So this is something really, really important. None of us can avoid getting older. But all of us can avoid suffering the consequences of getting older. So one of the really common things that I hear is somebody will come in with an x-ray and say, oh, I have no cartilage in my knee. Right? To me, that's the equivalent of being bald. Someone may be bald and still very good looking.
Thank you. I'll take that as a personal remark.
Or equally well, someone can be bald and badly need a toupee. Right? So the issue about being bald is not the problem. The problem is not losing your hair. The problem is whether you look good or not. And it's the same in the knee. The issue in the knee is not losing your cartilage. The issue in the knee is, do you have pain? And if you have pain, where does the pain come from? So I think that's probably all I wanted to cover before I gross you out with anything else.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Rajesh. You know, Mae West, the famous American celebrity from the 20th century, said, you know, growing old is not for sissies. And I really do believe that. You know, you need a certain amount of courage and a kind of positive outlook. I think of my own mother, who's 79, coming up to 80 this year, and in this decade alone, she's published two novels, her PhD thesis, and a book of poetry, and she's an extraordinarily productive phase of her life. I don't think growing old has to be a sad and depressing story. Now, we don't have much time. We're ticking down from 13 minutes, so time for questions. Questions, could you just say who you'd like to direct the question to, the specialist or the generalist? Is that a way to describe you, Marvin? Are you a generalist? Is that what you say?
I'm the specialist for the generalist.
Ah, okay. There you have.
And I'm a man of very limited knowledge.
Okay. So we have a question over there.
Thank you very much. My name is Wai Kwan, and I'd like to ask to both of you, we are getting more older parents. And I'm one of those older parents. I also turned 50 this year, but my youngest is only 9 years old. So how do we... I do live a pretty healthy and active lifestyle, so I try to stay healthy. So how do we keep on staying healthy so that we can keep up with the growing children, basically? And we are building more pediatric towers rather than geriatric towers. How are we going to help people like me who is growing older and trying to keep up with the younger ones? Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's the important thing, keeping up with the younger ones. And usually we struggle. We do spend a lot of time with our patients in clinic because by virtue of being a geriatrician, you need to talk to someone about everything. And our consultations can take a long time. And sometimes it's a lot of the problem is the mentality. People think, oh, I'm old. It'd be so, you know, so embarrassing to do these kind of things. But actually, there are people who are still very active in their old age. You can be 100 and you can run a marathon. Nothing's going to stop you. But the key thing is to actually maintain that physical fitness. So if you can, just keep going. As soon as you reach the peak of your physical fitness around 25 years old, it's not 30, but I think he's pushed it to 30. And I usually say to my medical students, who's 25 in the room? And they all go, no, we're not 25 yet, prof. I say, well, who'll be 25 next year? And then I'll say, well, from then on, it'll be downhill. But actually, it doesn't need to be like that. Because if you are able to exercise, eat well, you can maintain your physical fitness. And you need to keep up with the youngsters. So you need to keep up with change. And so learning is lifelong. Okay, so if the latest iPhone has just come up, you jolly well make sure you know how to work it. Because otherwise, if you miss this iPhone, next time it's a doubly hard job to learn about what the next iPhone does. So you need to keep up with the generations. You know, do things that youngsters like so you feel young. It's as simple as that. But often it's a perception of society. Like I get very irritated because I'm not allowed to carry anything at work. So I was like, how am I supposed to grow muscles if I'm not allowed to lift anything? So often society also frowns upon the older person doing things. And that's
right, so you don't want to just act your age, you want to act younger.
No, that's the thing. There should be no... You shouldn't actually say act your age.
That's right, because people have expectations that probably lower...
Expectations, yeah. Right.
Rajesh, do you have a comment on this?
Okay, so what to do about it? First thing, exercise, you've already heard. You need to treat injuries well once. The real problem that I have in the clinic is people say, oh, you know, this has been going on for the last 3 years. I say, well, why you come now? Right? They go, oh, you know, cannot tahan already. So it's helpful if you recognize there's a problem, you treat it early, you treat it once, and you recognize when things are not getting better, and you have to work out. Now, this is a little bee in my bonnet, and, you know, you'll just hear me bang on incessantly about this. You need to really consider what the exact problem is. It cannot be my knee pain, my shoulder pain, my back pain. That's not good enough. It has to be, as a surgeon, I want to know what is the anatomic structure. What is the name of the guy who's causing the mischief? And what mischief is he making? Then I work out, you know, if it's degenerative, I can regenerate it. If it's inflamed, I can anti-inflammatory it. If it's unstable, I can stabilize it. But until you get a tissue diagnosis, you're really not going anywhere. These are some recommendations for exercise. So I get asked about exercise a lot. These are the objective, evidence-based, scientific recommendations for exercise. So exercise is not walking the same padang 5 times every day for the last 5 years. That's not exercise. No, it isn't.
It's cardiovascular exercise. It's not the organ you know.
No, it's cardiovascular exercise, but it doesn't build your rubber bands.
Yes, that's right.
It doesn't change your rubber bands. If you want to change your rubber bands, you have to change your exercise. If you say, I walk 5 times in the padang, one day you walk it in half an hour, few months later you walk it in 20 minutes, another day you walk it in an hour, but you have to change that threshold of exercise because the body is amazingly efficient. Whatever you do it often enough, the body will just get used to it. You completely no effort required from your rubber bands, if I want to use that term. You need to not diet. Diet is bad. I mean, you need to not eat ridiculously, but the problem that I see in clinics is people will be on some fad diet and then they'll come in, they've got hardly any muscle mass, and then they go, I wonder why I injured myself. So you need to have unlimited nutrition for energy. And look, calcium and vitamin D deficiency is endemic in our community. If I tested all of you, every single one of you, I think about 94-95% will be deficient in calcium and vitamin D, even though you have adequate diet, and that's just because we don't go out in the sun enough. And with the blazing hot sun now, you know, I wouldn't either. So take calcium and vitamin D periodically. You don't have to take it every day religiously. Just once in a while, you know, take some supplements of only calcium and vitamin D. That's probably the only supplement I would ever recommend.
Okay, maybe we should move on to the next question. Okay, the gentleman
Hi,
there.
I'm Frederick. I'm asking, is sex considered an exercise? And if it does it make a person more fertile?
Okay. Who'd like to feel that question? Can I repeat the question just in case nobody in the room got it? The gentleman in the second row wants to know if sex is a form of exercise and does I don't even know
fertile?
What the second question
does
is.
Does it make you more fertile?
Will you get more fertile?
Yeah. Okay, so can I answer the first part? If you go back to our recommendations, does it exceed a minimum threshold, as in does it elevate your heart rate? Do you vary the activity? And, hang on, we're not done yet. And do you...
Yeah, so don't go keep going around in circles.
No,
right?
That's right. And do you sustain it for long enough? If the answer is yes to all three, then yes. In terms of where your rubber bands are concerned, in terms of your neuromuscular system, it is an exercise. If it makes you more fertile, I don't know. George, where are you?
I think with growing old and sex, you always have to maintain your sense of humor. I think that's probably the secret.
But why are you guys laughing? Honestly, I'm doing research on sex and seniors. I am. Because I think one of the major problems of this society is, come on, at your age, you know? Once you're a certain age, you're not allowed to do it, right? You know, and then, and then half the time, you know, it's frowned upon. So it's normal human need. It's a basic human need, okay? So you either do it and pretend you don't, or you just think that you're being a perfect angel by not doing it. But please, it's normal. Do it, okay? And do it as often as you like.
Just
otherwise,
do it.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, so... If you don't use it, you lose it.
Absolutely.
Aha, okay. Words to live by. Next question. We're running out of time. The lady over there, I think, was...
What do you think about HRT? Because I've been told that there's a lot of effects, after effects on this.
This is a hormone replacement therapy? Okay.
Actually, it's actually a gynecology thing. Most of the time when they come and see me, they really are way beyond HRT age. But it's true, we're seeing the effects. For some time, it was really sold as, God's gift to humanity, best thing since sliced bread. This is going to prevent all heart disease, prevent osteoporosis. And then we eventually realized that actually increased the risk of cancer and heart disease. So generally, we don't advocate it now unless the symptoms of the menopause are too disabling. So that's pretty much the recommendation.
Okay, we could take another question.
Yeah, good evening. Can you comment about biological age as opposed to chronological age? And secondly, on the subject of, we're talking of physical health all the while, but what about brain health? And my fear, and most of us who are in the 60s and moving on, the fear of dementia, Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Do you want to do the first one?
If you're demented, you don't know you've lost it. So that's probably not very fair. Look, physical and mental health are actually very, very closely related, right? So when your levels of physical health are good, you have increased cerebral blood flow to the brain and you actually have greater cognitive function. So the evidence is people who have greater physical health also have better than average mental function. So I think that's sort of a very close relationship. In terms of dementia in the elderly, I think Prof would probably be a better place.
Yeah, I think there was a question about chronological age. Chronological age means how old you are. So if you've lived on Earth for 80 years, then your chronological age is 80. But if you've maintained yourself very well, we can actually now measure a biological age, and we'll say you as fit. Your body actually is the same fitness as an average 60-year-old. So that's a biological age. Does that make sense? Very simply. Dementia in older people is actually a huge topic. And I think Mira's actually done quite a few talk shows on that. But by and large, a few things. Diet, okay, so eat healthily, rainbow diet, lots of fresh fruit, vegetables, physical exercise, and brain exercise. Yeah, so brain exercise now, we actually advocate things like mahjong. The Westerners play bingo, but we play mahjong, okay, and you don't have to gamble, so the Muslims can still play mahjong. What's the latest thing is volunteerism and learning a new skill. So I always ask my patients to go learn dancing or singing, but ask their partners to put some ear things
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some really positive stories about the brain as well as it ages, increasing, I mean, it's about the plasticity of your brain, right? It has this capacity to learn, doesn't it, and grow.
The thing is that we have a lot of brain cells we don't use. And the truth is we lose brain cells from the time we're 40 years old. But so what you're doing is actually helping your unused brain cell take over the skills of the job of the ones that are died off that was doing something. So if you don't do that, then you'll just carry on losing brain cells and losing stuff.
So like in sex, if you don't use it, you lose it. So, words to live by. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our session. There's these two wonderful individuals, Rajesh and Maupin, are going to be with BFM. They're going to be on air. You can always send your questions in and interact with them on air as well. Thank the both of them. Please, a round of applause for our guests, Dr. Rajesh and Dr. Tan Maupin.
This is an edited recording of the panel discussion that was held at the BFM Health and Living Live 2016 event on April 2nd. BFM Health and Living Live 2016 is presented by AIA, the real life company.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.